Dear Sudan, welcome to my lecture. We are into our chapter 7, and the chapter 7 deals with tourism transport services. We have spoken in the earlier lectures on the importance of transport. Without transport arrangements, transport in any form, flight, bus, train, cars, ships, a tourism industry cannot expect the record growth that we have been continuously monitoring in the 21st century and the previous decades of last centuries. So, all ears to me, and we start our learning into this. As in the beginning, at every topic, we understand the learning objectives. And the learning objective, know about different modes of transport. This is very important to understand. Which are the different modes of transport? Transport literally means all those that take traveler from point A to point B are all falling under mode of transport. And we will learn about these modes of transport in the current unit. So let's begin. Transportation systems are integral part of travel and tourism industry. Without the existence of travel or the transport system, you cannot expect any growth. And transport can be there without taking into account the tourism. We cannot be there to any destination if there is no good connectivity and transport arrangement. Either you go on top of a hill, or you go down deep into the sea to an island, or you go with the railway network being provided, you need transport. So we are owing a lot of growth due to transport. Any destination that has no good transport system connected to that destination cannot register that growth. As simple as that. So growth in tourism happened due to advances in transportation, technology worldwide. Remember the days of the Second World War? Think of that, when the entire world was fighting. That's why it was called World War II. That was fought from 1941 to 45. The entire Europe was affected by that. Some part of Far East, like Japan, China, were also impacted. And the entire countries of the world were shattered due to this war. And the first thing, when the peace existed after the Second World War, the first thing that came to mindset of various countries were to improve on their transport system. That resulted into growth of aviation industry. That is why we see large manufacturing units of Boeing sitting in San Diego, Airbus that is in France, and British Aerospace having their units in UK. So tourism happened. The growth after the settlement, they want to see the world and they wanted to show what they have. They started working towards tourism transportation. So we will learn quite a lot in this system. So there is a significant but subtle aspect behind this growing trend of tourism flow, and that is transportation. Growth of transportation, it's the different modes, is and its availability and accessibility has made travel more convenient nowadays. So we can just sit in our bedroom, open up our laptop or mobile phone and look for a flight going from Mumbai to Dubai in the middle of the night for a daytime flight at 7:30 in the morning. And there you are, seats are available. You have done your reservation 12 o'clock midnight on that flight. Thanks to the various transport system going online, making use of the digital growth, the technology that came in. And with the help of technology, now you can book transportation the way you like, be it is a car through Uber, Ola, or buses internationally, nationally. Everything is now possible. That is thanking the tourism industry, is thanking the transport system for its growth. Some statistics shared with you with the traffic scenario prevailing from 2010 to 2019, a gap of 10 years will highlight that what we were in 2010 with the help of low-cost carrier, more airline, more airports being built, more connectivity, more availability of flights resulted into arrival of tourists. You can see that now 2010, we were sitting at less than 957 million tourists, and we grew to, in 2019, 1.465 billion tourists. So less than 1 billion in 2009, boosted in a 10 years time period, 1.5% growth, drastic growth. And when we talk 1.5, the sum seems to be small, but 1.5 on a number with a figure which was below 1 billion shot up above 1.4 billion. So international tourism receipts also jumped drastically from 980 million to 1,494 million, registering a growth of 1.52%. Thanks all to the transport system. You will be one of the statistics that I would share now is, look at the city of Mumbai. We have only one airport, Chhatrapati Shivaji International Airport, that has two terminals. We use one single corridor, and that accounts for over 1,000 aircraft takeoff and landing from Mumbai in November 2023. One of the unique thing that is happening around the world, literally every 80 seconds, there is a flight either landing or taking off from Mumbai International Airport corridor. And we have a single corridor, which means the landing and takeoff happen from the same corridor, unlike other countries of the world and the cities of the world where more such thing happen. Message I'm giving it to you, the transport system has drastically improved, and thank God we don't see anything like a mishap, thank God, so far happening, despite being with a single corridor. What we need at Mumbai Airport to meet with this growing traffic, another airport, sooner the better. We move further in understanding foreign tourist arrival. Once again, number of Indian nationals who departed in 2010 was 5.78 million, 2019, 10.93 million. So, kareeb 1 crore departed in 2019 internationally or arrival. I'm sorry, this was an arrival figure. So we were only getting 5.7, matlab 50 lakhs tourists were arriving in 2010. Now we are recording 10 million, which means over 1 crore tourists arriving in India. And number of Indian nationals who traveled abroad in 2010, we were 13 million departures for international outbound visit. It just doubled, two times it doubled up to 26.92, thanks to the growth of transportation industry, the arrival of low-cost carriers, the arrival of many of such carriers who started operating to India, and the feeling, the urge in Indian tourists to travel abroad. This is also due to the growth of transport system. So domestic, again, 3.105 times growth, and it is remarkable growth because we have seen in other areas less than 2% and 2%, two times growth. Now, this is not percent, this is times. Times growth is different than the percent growth. So two times the domestic, sorry, the international travelers from India recorded a growth, but the domestic using airports, transport system, 3.105 times growth, and the revenues earned, estimated exchange earning fees they get is 2.07%, all showing a very positive growth in the traffic scenario. This is again a pickup after 2019. So that arrival was 2021456, 456 against what we recorded was 456, and international tourism receipt again doubled up in 2022. Mind it, these figures are taken from 2021 and 2022. This is a growth versus 21 and 22. All again, another statistic coming off 2021 and 22, recording 0.55 times, 1.1 time the international departure abroad in 2022 was low, 2021 was again low. This is all due to COVID, what I'm talking here and here. So, whereas we shot to so much, but because of the COVID, this departure outbound remained low, international borders being closed. We know that. The domestic tourism also remained low, again, because domestic travel was also on a ban. You were not allowed to travel. Even emergency traffic was allowed to move around by cars or by bus with a signage displaying on it that this is an emergency and all the passengers are vaccinated with COVID. So these are just understanding of estimated earning jump from $6,900 million to $8,800 million. We move further in private transport. What we talk about the private transport, how do we define that? With the development of automotive industry worldwide, a personal transport, cars have become an easy and convenient way of moving from one place to another. Another factor that was important of the private car growth in the COVID era and post-COVID era was due to safety and the health of the passenger. Because the passenger believe if we are in our own car, we have less chances of getting infected with COVID. So private transport boosted. It was used for domestic travel because India being such a big country, we can only go with your private car possibly to either Bangladesh, Nepal or Bhutan, provided you have insurance and have permission to go out in your own car. And within domestic tourism, definitely people use their own car, be you go to Delhi or you go down from Mumbai to Goa, Kerala, people have taken their own private car. And it has enormous competitive advantage over public transport due to its flexibility. And that means you can stop the vehicle where you want. You can dine when you are on a bus and so many such things. So buses and coaches taking from type of a transport, we started from the car. Now we are picking up the buses and coaches. We all are familiar with buses and coaches. Coaches could be a private coach of a particular private company operating between certain things, certain countries, certain cities and intrastate and interstate. Bus service have been increasingly used by passengers for interior and remote area. Now, with India, this stands good. But internationally, say among European countries, there is a huge number of tourists who use buses for even international travel. According to my knowledge, there is a bus route that goes from Kolkata to London. There is a bus that is being operated. Otherwise, buses are not mostly used for international travel in India. But otherwise, you have any Southeast Asian country, you have Europe, within America, people go down from anywhere on the buses to all the way into Canada. So buses have recorded a wonderful growth. Some of the reason why people use is, so they have played a developed a significant role in providing low-cost, affordable travel for package tour market and holiday segment. Obviously, buses are comparatively cheaper in Western countries, not in India. India buses are many a times expensive and they have a seasonal pricing. So if in a high season, they may charge you much higher than even the train, it goes the same thing. Whereas we don't have seasonality. We may find no seats or waiting lists element. But the prices are same whether you take up a daytime train, nighttime train, the pricing is the same, which is not the case in Europe for buses as well as train. They have a different price if you take in a specific timing of the day. Coming back again to India, the package tour market and holiday segments such as schools and the senior citizen over 70 years of age. Now, they can provide a support service such as social ambience and callers that niche market value. When I talk of social ambience, I will give you an example of senior citizen. So senior citizen going on a coach tour will also be supported as a niche market value. They would be only playing the music of 60s so that they don't get distracted from this loud music of the current time period. And buses also link places that may not have railway network. I can give example of northeastern states, all the 6-7 sister states in northeast, Mizoram, Meghalaya, Manipur, Nagaland, Tripura, Arunachal, Sikkim, they all are more accessible by buses than the train. Of course, there are flights, but we are talking about the buses. So all these places are very well linked with the buses and coach tours. Railways. In India, we believe that railways are the cheapest mode of transport now, which is not the case with Europe. Any luxury trains that one takes in Europe pays through the nose. Big amount of monies are involved when you take a rail tour, which is not the case with us. For us, in India, railways are the cheapest mode of transport. Imagine traveling in metros or local train. You begin with 5 rupees and 10 rupees and 15 rupees and 20 rupees max. Buses, the same pricing. 5 rupees for non-AC and 6 rupees for AC. So our buses, our railway system is cheaper. Railways mostly operate on intercity routes and provide competition to air travel and roadways. Sometimes the air travel is, what I mean is road transport many a time charge much higher than the public transport or the government-operated buses in the peak season. For example, during the Christmas, the buses going to Goa would charge you an exorbitant money. As against if you would have booked on a rail, possibly you would go down within 500 to 600 rupees on one day Bharat train. But the flights may charge you anything from 12 to 15,000 rupees if you book closer to December 25th or 24th of December. So various counts on railways. Internationally, I mentioned that railways are charging more money because their trains were luxury trains. They have a full screen visibility, whichever seat you occupy. You have a very much clear visibility of the scenario around, especially in the summer month when a lot of travel happen in Europe, they avail the facilities offered by railway. So railway as a transport system is a wonderful system that India accepts and people use huge. Most travel happen in India between intercities, between the state, from one end, from Trivandrum, all the way going down to New Jalpaiguri or Kolkata, or people, the northeastern who work in Bangalore, they take the train. That is the outcome of the railway network that we have in India. But limitation, I mentioned, because of the mountainous region of Kashmir, northeast state, there is a limitation of rail network. Right, so going further into Kashmir, you can go up to Pathankot or maybe somewhere little ahead. But from there, you need to take a road transport bus, which are run by private sector and the bus operated through government. So rail services marketing is becoming more sophisticated worldwide. We make a mention of IRCTC in India is a good example of successful transport marketing done by Indian Railways, which is an element of services, rail services along with the catering. So with IRCTC, you can order a specific meal also if the train stop at a particular destination. And we have the air transport in discussion, and air transport refers to long distance, long haul flight, over 10-12 hours of a flight, schedule operated strongly, branded scheduled services around the world. We talk of any airline, Emirates, Etihad Airways, British Airways, Air India, and so on. All are scheduled airline, which means they operate as per the schedule. They have proper date of proper timing of landing and takeoff. They are allocated slots. These are all scheduled airline. Then we talk of the short distance. Anything less than 4 hours is a short distance. Going from Mumbai to Dubai, which is 3 hours flight, is a short distance flight and short haul flight. Then we have a charter. Charter doesn't happen on a big scale in India, but internationally, yes, especially in summer, there are a number of charter operators that take passengers, say from Norway or from Denmark or UK, and bring them down to Portugal, to Faro in Portugal or Spain. They have activities closer to the beach, all done through the tour operators, chartered aircraft. TUI is one of jet wings, are a few examples which are operating chartered flight. Chartered flights can be done by a specific tour operator who would hire the aircraft and bring their passengers, which they would have sold as a tour package. So that's the role of air transport and the system. The low cost, which was known in America, please note this word, no frill. When they started in America, the demand, the consumer demand, we don't want frill attached to our travel plan. I don't want that extra headphone. I don't want a blanket. I don't want a meal. I've already taken my breakfast and I'm boarding the flight at 9 o'clock. I don't want anything. Give me a better price in the fare. And that created no frill airline, which is known as either budget airline or low-cost carrier. And we see quite a good number of budget airline and low-cost carrier, and there are buyers for them. But budget carriers have a limitation because they don't fly more than 4.5 hours. Because as per IATA rulings and international standard, if the flight is more than certain hours of a flight, then the crew cannot be brought back on the same flight as a working crew. They need to be put in a hotel. That will add up to the cost and it will make the airfare expensive. So low budget, low cost carriers, no frill carriers or low cost carriers are operational for short haul routes. mind it, from Mumbai to Bangalore, or Malaysian airline from Mumbai to Kuala Lumpur, all are within the 4.5 hour range of flying. Low-cost carrier like Nokair flying from Surat, Ahmedabad to Bangkok. All these are finest example of low-cost carrier. Go First, Indigo, these are all low-cost carrier example. Many came in US, many have merged with another carrier, many have died down and disappeared just because of their marketing pricing policies. We saw the demise of SpiceJet that was brought in and gone. We have Jet Airways that was not a low-cost carrier, a carrier that was the first non-government airline that started operating domestic route. Even that has gone. In America, it doesn't happen. Any low-cost carrier or any airline that experiences drop in the revenues, it is taken over by another airline which either operates on the same route or the airline that want their number of aircraft and services to grow. So this was the count on air transport as a mode of transport. Then we have the sea transport. I already mentioned to you that sea transport was most essential in the old era, before Second World War and much later, until 60s. We never had any carrier that could fly non-stop from Europe to USA because the aircraft did not have the capacity of fuel to be put while the aircraft is airborne. The fuel area or the fuel capacity was limited. The aircraft weight load at the time of takeoff could not take so many liters and more, which is different now. We have non-stop flight for more than 15 hours. Number of airlines are flying non-stop for more than 15 hours with two crew or flight attendants on board. So one flight attendant group work for 4 hours, take a rest, other come up, they service, then they take a rest, and likewise they continue to complete their 16 hours long flight. That's quite an advancement now, because there is a two set of flight attendant crew on board, so there will be two pilots, two flight engineers, two post-pilot, and so many more. Coming back to sea transport, yes, ferries are widely used in developed countries in the form of cruise ships, be it Switzerland, or we talk of Danube River or Shen River, all are having the dhow cruises, which are very popular. Traditionally, crossing the harbor at Hong Kong, going from Hong Kong to the new side of Hong Kong, which was now done with a bridge that was only possible with the ferries. We can give example of ferries as a mode of transport that is coming up with the sea link that would be starting, that would connect Shivri to Navasiva. And more sea links are coming up. We had one very important sea link that became functional in Mumbai, Worli sea link, and so on and so forth. So we are seeing this sea link or the ferries that will be operational now. I gave you the example from Kochi, where there are many islands around Kochi that were being run by the private boat operators. Now they have a metro that run by the government, and it takes 100 passengers. The moment 100 passengers steps in, that seat are full, the gate get locked, and the boat has to move. It's called metro, boat metro. That's happening in Kochi. Many examples can be given. These are modern examples. In the old era, before World War II and even post-World War, boats, ships, dhows were used as a traditional mode of transport to go. When Spain ruled South America, they had a colony in Philippines. Philippines was the Spanish colony. They were coming in from South America, all the way from Argentina, from Peru, or from any colonized country in South America. And they were operating all that with sea transport. Internationally, still the biggest amount of cargo shipment is done by sea transport. 90% of the sea transport is, especially cargo, is by sea. There are many countries still using boats. Like, for example, we have boats in crossing Ganges, Brahmaputra River, in UP, Assam, and so on. So everywhere in the world, boats are still used, whether it is in Philippines, as a mode of transport, which is the sea transport.